This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 23rd, 2018, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You do not understand the saying, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is good for us, frequently, regularly, to get back to basics. Any endeavor in this life, no matter how good you get at something, if you get back to basics, it reminds you of the foundations. You can actually take things to such the next level that you can actually forget the basics. That's where I want to go today. There's a lot of things that you could talk about this gospel reading, but I want to kind of focus on this remark that is made. The Holy Spirit tells us that the disciples, they're listening to Jesus, did not understand the saying. Kind of interesting. When you look at the saying, he says, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. And he is killed. After 3 days, he will rise. Does that not seem pretty clear? Pretty explicit? Not really in depth. There's a couple facts. And they don't understand. The interesting thing about this is the second time he said this to them. The second time, this message, and they don't understand. Is this an indictment? Is this the Holy Spirit telling us, hey, look, Jesus called some dull people around him that don't get things that he tells them? Well, yes and no. It's not an indictment on their intellect. They hear and they understand. But as far as hearing the words, but they don't get it. If we really consider, there are a lot of things in this life we'll hear and maybe understand, but not get it. Jesus Christ is telling us through the Holy Spirit right here that you need to get what he says. Let's use it as an example. We are in some very tumultuous times in the Catholic Church. There are those of us, I account myself among them, who say that these times are the worst that they have ever been in the history of the church. Ever. Yeah, she's had problems before, but it's never been like this. Ever. And you can point fingers at this guy, that guy, what he said, what he wrote, what he doesn't do, what he did. This guy covered up. You can get into all that, and it's all legitimate, every single thing, all legit, but the bottom line is, why we're dealing with what we deal with right now in the church is there are a lot of people who don't understand the Word of God, and that includes bishops and cardinals. How could you? Oh, blasphemy. Should be excommunicated, saying bishops and cardinals don't know the Word of God. Not the first time it's happened in history. The Arian crisis. The vast majority, when I say that, I mean like all. Every single bishop on the face of this planet denied that Jesus Christ was God. That's like Christianity 101, that Jesus Christ is God. And every Catholic bishop on the face of this planet denies it. Okay, there were some hard cases that he's absolutely not, and there was another larger group that said, maybe is what maybe he wasn't. No, he is. And all bets are off if he's not. You got to believe that he's God. But most of the bishops didn't. St. Athanasius and a handful, and that's an overstatement, of other bishops who understood the Word of God, maintained the faith, and the Holy Spirit through them switched things around. This flies in the face of everybody does this. Everybody believes that. No one does that anymore. Who cares what everyone... If you're doing something that's right, or you believe something that's right, you're good. St. Athanasius was good. That's why he's St. Athanasius. Okay? That's why we don't have St. Arius, because he was a heretic. Okay? He's not a saint. Unless he repented, he's in hell. He's not a saint. So there's this line of demarcation between what's true and what's not. And only a handful of guys believe the truth, and everybody else believe the heresy. Little footnote, a lot of people, you can't criticize this person or that, but you could get excommunicated for that. St. Athanasius was excommunicated in 357. Okay? So you're in good company if you get excommunicated for standing for the truth. All right, it's happened before, probably happening again. That's why it's so necessary to understand the truth. And there is truth. And things that don't agree with it, guess what? They're not. We're supposed to understand. It's imperative. Our Lord Jesus Christ, with the example of the child coming in, he said, hey, you receive me, you don't receive me, you receive him who sent. A lot of people would look at that and go, well, is he differentiating himself from the Father? No, he's doing just the opposite. Because you got to understand the apostle. You got a lot more going on for you than the apostles. When we read Jesus will be handed over to men and killed and rise again the third day, we're like, well, duh, that's what he did. He hadn't done it yet. So they're being confronted with something that they haven't experienced. We've experienced it. By way of history, his work is finished. We know that. So you're in a better position than the apostles. So you can't wag your head at them and go, I don't understand. When, unfortunately, the majority of Catholics walk in the face of the planet. They don't understand what their faith has always taught. Believe something that has come up within the past 60 years. Not all of it's horrible. A lot of it is problematic. And it has led to this. They don't understand the Word of God. You got to understand the Word. It's got to start with us as individuals. I throw that one out a lot, particularly in our day. You can't trust bishops and cardinals and priests. All right? You can't do it. Got to know yourself. Got to know what God says. You have to understand. How am I supposed to understand? Well, guess what? We'll go through that. And there's really basically only three things. We'll start with the easiest and work down, or work up to the more complex. First, misunderstanding can result because, and this is all individual, this is all on us as you and me, not paying attention to what Jesus said. What? You wouldn't believe how much you see while you're up here, particularly at the 8 o'clock. The sun's in people's eyes. And I don't think they can't. Well, if I can't see him, he can't see me. I see. You're in a homily. You get it. Sometimes you got a little bit more to say. And you're like, I got to land this. Why? Because I can tell people aren't paying attention. You see the looking out the windows. You see the looking at the watches. You see fiddling around. You can see closed eyes. I'm meditating. Meditating on Cracker Barrel. We got to pay attention. I mean, that can go, and we're all like, I'm not pointing fingers, okay? I sit over in that middle seat when other people are preaching over here, and guess what? I'm not that, I don't do Cracker Barrel, but I am thinking, I'm not listening to what he's saying. Okay, after he gets done, I got to do this, and I got to do that. He's going too long. He, you know, man, he just messed that up. You know, I'm there, you know? I'm not letting the Holy Spirit speak through his servant. That's our nature. We got to fix it. Does that mean from now on I'll pay absolute attention every time? No, you're not. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to God, particularly. No, you just got to jerk our own chain every now and then. And so we got to pay attention to what he says, or you're not going to understand. The second thing is both individual and communal. We'll start out with the individual part because we were just talking about individuals. Not knowing completely what God says. Individually, you can't like certain things and negate others. You can't cite certain... The world cites Scripture. How many race cars and NASCAR and football helmets have you seen with John 3:16? They even chapter and verse you on it. Yeah, most pagans go, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's one verse, and they even mess that up. Because the way they usually present it is, God sent Jesus and everybody's going to heaven. Guess what? It doesn't say that. It says, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So they even mess up one verse, much less the entire scripture. We lose a whole lot of Catholic folks to Protestant sects because they're confronted with some person that comes up and goes, the Bible says this and this number and that number and all that. And people go, man, I've never heard a Catholic say that to me, or I've never even heard a priest say that to me. Well, they must be right. They're quoting the Bible. That verse and chapter, as long as it fits what they think, they absolutely deny what John 6 says about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That's not good. I'm quoting that one a whole lot. You can't be pick and choosing. You got to understand the whole thing. And it's up to us to understand the whole thing. And this is where it gets communal. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are like, I just want to go to church and stuff like that. And I'm up here harping on, you know what? You didn't hear this verse, or you didn't hear these verses, which is generally what goes on. Guess what? Look at your bulletins. Happened today. Wisdom chapter 2, verse 12, then 17 and following. What's going on in 13 to 16? Hold the thought, because I'm going to tell you what's going on there. All right, because that's the next thing. But it's left out. The James reading today. Well, that was a good reading. Were there any verses left out? No. But there's another verse after that that actually encapsulates why what is said is being said. You got to know what people say, especially Jesus. Imagine if you're a doctor and you're telling a patient, hey, you know, your life's in danger. This is what you have to do. And the patient's sitting there looking at him like this. And the doctor says the first sentence, and then the patient goes, I, like this. And the doctor talks for 5 minutes, and then he pulls his hand out of his ears, and here's the rest. What's that? That's a good way to die or get more sick, and that's your temporal life. I never do that to a doctor. Why do you do it to Jesus Christ? Why does the church do it to Jesus Christ? Why are these things left out? You read things, it'll say, that's a difficult passage. Newsflash. Our faith is difficult. The whole thing. There's not a demanding side of the faith. Our faith is demanding. It's a change. It's a complete change in us. And we have to appreciate that. And if you don't know what he says in its entirety, you're not going to understand. That leads us to the third thing. Because if you don't understand, you have presuppositions. Well, I've always heard this. Priests have told me this. It's all I ever hear in the parish and all my house. So this is true. What might that be? Presuppositions like when they hear something confrontational. Judge not, lest ye be judged. You're not supposed to judge anyone. Presupposition and wrong. Absolutely wrong. That's not where it stopped. The Bible says it. Yeah, it does. And then it says some more stuff that we never hear. Okay? Judge not, lest ye be judged. First, take the beam out of your eye, and then you can take the mote out. Then, it's basically fix yourself. You don't judge arbitrarily, unilaterally. You don't judge motive. You don't judge hearts. But you can judge fruit. Because if you understand what God says, Jesus Christ himself said, by their fruits you will know them. That means judging fruit. So the presupposition that you're not supposed to ever criticize anybody for what they do or what they say is absolutely false. It is a lie. It's not the truth. And people say it don't understand God's word. Father so-and-so, and I love him so much, and he's so engaging, and he's relevant, and all this kind of stuff. He says we're not supposed to judge. Guess what? He's wrong. You are supposed to judge. We're not supposed to get up in people's faces about stuff like, yes, you are. Another presupposition. We're supposed to sit in here on our hands, why things go on out there, why our family members go away from the church, why they live in abominable lifestyles, you know, why Catholics contracept, cohabitate, all these mortal sins, and have no clue. Well, my conscience, your uninformed conscience, your conscience that does not understand God's word or they understand the teachings of the church, that's why you do what you do and you're in sin. How uncharitable are you? Probably the same thought that the money changers had at the temple when Jesus was driving them out with a whip. Jesus is the perfect one. We cannot have presuppositions that are not informed by what God says in his entirety. I said hold the thought on wisdom, the missing verses there, and that last missing verse that would have tied everything up in the reading of James. The verses that are missing in wisdom, what does it start out? We're going to do this to the believers. We're going to torture them, and we're going to do this and all this. Those verses that are missing say why they're going to do that. Because believers confront them with their evil. The believers present to them that they are wrong. Believers present to them that they are better than they are in their sin. I'm just a sinner like you. Then you got serious problems. Because you ought not be a sinner like them. Are we still sinners? Yes, but we are penitent sinners. And every time we do sin, we run to the confessional. They don't. They don't repent of their sin. They don't run to the confessional. They are rank sinners. And they should be confronted with that reality. And you know what? They hate it. That's the reading. They hate us because we are supposed to confront them. Like Jesus Christ confronted the people of his day, like St. John the Baptist, his precursor, confronted people in his day, the way St. Paul confronted people in his day, and every disciple and saint throughout the history of the church has confronted people with the truth of the Catholic faith. That's what we are supposed to do. And you don't do it if you presuppose you're not supposed to confront people. We are supposed to confront people. What would Jesus do? Let me tell you, he confronted people with their sin. And it's what we're supposed to be like him. All right? And it's not a suggestion. It's a mandate. So how do we fix this misunderstanding? You don't do any of those three things. You pay attention while you're here. As best you can, as best I can. You pay attention. You take it upon yourself to fill in the blanks that might exist. There is hardly ever a Sunday when I don't go home and read wisdom, the whole thing, and actually see what it says. I didn't wake up this morning and not comb my hair correctly, and you can see the point. I know most people aren't going to do that. Guess what? I said what I got to say, and that's on you. Because if you don't do it, you're not going to understand. I might brush on it and everything like that. But me saying it is not the same as you read it from the Word of God. That's just Father Doc going on again. No, that's what God says. So go home and read what I take, because then you're going to get the full story. Okay? That's what we need to do. I've never really read the Bible cover to cover. That's a serious problem. It's a serious problem. Because you're missing something. And I mean, if everybody was doing the right thing, you know, we only do have a limited amount of time in here. You're reading the whole Bible. Okay? You got to do that on your own. So you'll understand God's word if you fill in the blanks. And you cannot have presuppositions. Just because, just like the Arian thing I said before, just because everybody else believes that, people ask me questions. They call, they email. I generally preface a whole lot of stuff. I'm going to tell you this, but if you ask 10 other priests in the diocese, they're going to tell you I am wrong. it just smacks of arrogance to say that I'm right and they're not. That's why I don't say I'm right. I say I'm answering you because scripture this, tradition this, it's the deposit of faith. That's what I'll share with you. And they're going to share with you that that's wrong because you get the whole, we don't believe that anymore. We don't use that catechism anymore. So I don't have to pay attention to it. Yes, you do. You can't ignore Trent. It is authoritative. You can't deny it. They do ignore it. But you ought not. Okay? Times have changed. Authoritative church teaching doesn't. That's the whole beauty of Catholicism. So if you keep watch on those three things, paying attention, filling in the blanks, not presupposing, you're going to be good. It's up to you. Now, I can only do so much. You got to go home and do your homework. Okay? You're not going to get it. I don't think anybody, the doctor analogy, I don't think anybody wants anybody operating on us who just read books. You want them to have had a little practice and been hanging around guys who do operations and stuff. That's how you get comfortable and know, hey, I know he knows what he's doing. This is where we have to go with this. It's that important. I mean, we go out of our way to, you know, fix ourselves physically, and it doesn't matter how good a shape you're in. Guess what? You're going to die, should the Lord tarry, no matter how good a shape you're in. Right? Happens every single day, many times a day. People in real good shape don't go to bed at night. All right? Because they're before the judgment seat. You should feel the reason for the catalyst for understanding God's word. It's because you're special. All of a sudden, like that. No, you're not. You're not like they are. Jesus Christ said that. How did this gospel open? He passed through Galilee and he would not have anyone know it. For he was teaching his disciples. You're his disciples. That's why you're in here. And there's a lot of people out on the golf course. Worshiping God on the golf course. Okay? You're in here because Jesus Christ is teaching you. Because you're his disciple. He has taken you aside. It's not for... That's why I don't go out on the sidewalk and yell at cars and people walking by. Because it's not for them. Your Savior says, don't cast your pearls before swine. All right? That mean we don't evangelize? Absolutely not. They don't get the good stuff until they're baptized. You've been baptized, that's why you get the good stuff. He's teaching you, and you have to appreciate that. You're his disciples. That special feeling of being his disciples, which you should have. You are different. You are better. I'm no better. Yes, you are. Because if you say you're not, you're denigrating our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he indwells you. You are his house in the power of his Holy Spirit. Okay? So you are different. You are better. The Holy Spirit doesn't indwell them. So if you've got that going on, how much should you want to understand what he says? Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.